Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When it triangulates like that, law enforcement will immediately know exactly where that gunshot goes off. Right now, if a neighbor hears a gunshot, they call the police department, the sheriff's department, or the Pensacola Police Department officer goes to that house. They don't go to where the gunshot went off. They go to the house, and it could be a few blocks away from where that gunfire actually occurred. Now you have the ability, as a law enforcement officer, to know exactly where it is, to know where you shouldn't be driving blind, to know exactly the safest route to get there. And you are not relying as much on the community to self-report if something's occurring a few blocks away.
You know, these are elements of the ShotSpotter technology that I had not been thinking of. That's why I appreciate the comments by Representative Alex Andrade yesterday during the joint press conference with ECSO and PPD and the mayor, and kind of everything got thrown into that room and new canines got rolled out. I mean, it was great. Big press conference yesterday. So talking about that, because how does a shot investigation, a gunshot investigation, typically proceed? Well, you know, the gunshot goes off and somebody hears it inside their house while they're doing something else, right? 1,000 feet away, okay? A quarter of a mile away, perhaps. And then what do? Well, they go outside because that's what you do. You go outside because you want to be closer to the gunshots. And then you look around. You're like, where'd that come from? Like, I think it was over that way. And your neighbors are out there and like, I think it was. And then you call 911. And 911 gets the call, you know, Escambia County Dispatch, you know, what can I do to help you? 911. What's your nature of your emergency, right? And then so minutes go by, you tell the narrative, then the dispatch goes out and the cop gets the dispatch and they go show up at the house of the neighbor, which is not where the gunfire occurred. And then the neighbor has to tell them what they think they heard and where they think it was. And so, you know, 20 minutes later, if you're lucky, you maybe talk to another neighbor and you're like, okay, over there. And you kind of get into the vicinity. Where do you look for the shell casings? What's the car you're looking for? You know, it's like all of that stuff is time, and lost time is lost investigative power. Also, if you're driving to the scene of the gunshot because the shot spotter picks it up and tells you, ding, right here, here's on your app, before dispatch, go now, and you can get there that quick. You know where the bad guys are likely to be if they're fleeing that area. You know where you might encounter them to be on guard against the possibility of running yourself into gunfire, which can be unsafe, or a fleeing suspect, which can be unsafe just without the gun. So all of those things that are saved, including the time on response. And, you know, I thought it was just really interesting to hear Eric Randall, who has worked with this technology before, right, in his previous places that he has served.
You know, it was truly rewarding to see when a ShotSpotter activation went off on my phone when I was in a group of people, to watch the officers take a look at it, respond to it, or to get on scene and watch them look at the map that's depicted on their phone and look in the search for shell casing to find evidence. And when you take the evidence and the technology and you wrap that into a whole package of law enforcement technologies, I mean, you can truly make a difference in a neighborhood, in a community, in a city, in a county.
Yeah, and as Andrew Hobbs from the Chief Hobbs from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office was telling us yesterday, you know, ShotSpotter can possibly pick up caliber, number of bullets. If the bullet shots are moving because it's in a car or it's going in a direction, that's tremendously useful if you're trying to do an investigation. Obviously, you can go by, find the shell casings, all of that kind of stuff, and get response immediately. And the problem, especially in high crime areas, is
current data shows just in America, about 80% of gunshot calls go unreported to the police. So that's why I say this is a game changer. When someone fires a gun, they can expect the police to respond and do what they do.
You're going to multiply the number of gunshot reports now to five, because if 80% go unreported, that means only 20% are being reported. You're now going to report 100% of the ones that happen within the area, right? Which is not 100% of all of them, but, you know, is a lot of them, because these are the heat maps, right? This is where the crime happens. So, you know, also, you don't get good cooperation from people because, you know, witnesses want to mislead you, right? Chip Simmons?
You know, there are a lot of times we get called to a scene and it's not a shots fired. A lot of times we get called to a scene and it's some bozo shot himself. And he claims that he got shot from someone else because it's not cool to say he shot himself in the pinky toe. It's only cool if someone shot him from the outside. So we get this a lot. So it would benefit us greatly if we were able to get out there as soon as we get the information. In fact, we got an app. Our deputies will have apps. The Pensacola police officers will have apps, and they'll get it. The dispatch doesn't even have to dispatch them. They'll see where it is. And if they're right around the corner, maybe they even heard it. And so they'll head to that location, and then they'll get all the information.
The ability to get good information, to get cameras pointed at areas where they've had shots reported, where all the shots get reported. And by the way, I was surprised by this number from Eric Randall.
In regards to being able to come up with this coverage area, we utilize data from 2019 all the way up to 2022. Looking at that data, there was about 400 shots fired call here in the city alone.
Wow.
And we looked at that data, extrapolated it down to be able to get the most benefit for our buck on this and the most effective area, which also is our Brownsville area that we're working right now with the Brownsville Guns Violence Campaign.
Tarragona to the city boundary, which is like Pace, and then from Avery down to the water, that's the hot zone, right? And if you think about it, again, running his math, if you had 400 shots reported over the last 3 years, which seems like an extraordinary amount to me, that means 2,000 shots actually happened, right? If only 20% get reported. Okay, so very, very important tool coming up for the city of Pensacola and the county. We'll talk about this more in just a second. Candy has traffic on the fives.
I'm letting that sink in. Oh, my gosh.
2,000 shots over 3 years is a lot.
That's terrifying. Traffic on the fives brought to you by New South Windows and brought to you by New South Windows Solutions. As we take a look around, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like whatever was happening on I-10 east and westbound, now that's clear. Not showing any problems down 98, clear too all the way through. And if you have a traffic tip, you can text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, that's two a day on average.
That's what gets reported.
No, that's what doesn't get reported. 400 is what got reported. That's just in the city.
That's terrifying.
That's not counting the county. That's just the city.
Oh, good. Making it worse. Andrew McKay.
I know how to make it worse, man. So they're going to integrate this with the Real Crime Center. So you're going to be able to see all this stuff integrated at one central location that's going to handle all of this. That's another part of what's coming in terms of, you know, what they're going to do, basically. And the zone, they basically picked the zone based on the heat map for calls of service. And as I told you where it was in the city, okay, and in the county, it's a couple of kind of bubbles of activity. One bubble is, they're both kind of in the Mayfair, Brownsville area. One bubble is a little bit south and west of the other one. But the main one that I'm focused on that caught my attention is right off of Brent, you have this Aris Boulevard area. That's the main one that they're – or sorry, off of Massachusetts, you have this Aris Boulevard. And it kind of – some of that zone goes as high north as Brent. But that's like Oakwood Terrace is in that vicinity. Diego Circle is in that vicinity, which the county's been trying to work on that. But I'll tell you a funny story about this. When my wife and I go bike riding all the time, you know this if you listen to the show – and what I have done historically is I've asked my cop friends, hey, is there anywhere we shouldn't go? Because even though it's the daytime, I mean, we're not riding around at night, but there's still places, and we found ourselves in places where like, oh, we probably shouldn't have been here. Peachtree Commons. Biking through Peachtree Commons, we had an almost incident, mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, I didn't know that. And that shows up as a place where people, have shootings periodically. So, okay. Well, we biked Aris Boulevard. And if you don't know that area, it's kind of like, as soon as you're onto the street, you're like, oh, and there's a lot of people congregating around, a lot of people who look like, there's probably crime going on here. And I carry, but still that doesn't make it okay. And, she's like, should we go down here? I'm like, yeah, I think we'll be fine. And it's a whole bunch of dead end streets off of a dead end street. The kind of place that if people decided to prevent you from leaving, they could. It's very easy to do. And so... it was fine. Nothing happened. But afterwards, I was telling some of my friends, they're like, you did what now? You fool. So that's right next to Diego Circle, which we did not go in because I know better. I didn't know Aris Boulevard, but that's the zone. Like, this is the place where, all of this calls for service are. So I hope this works. I am very optimistic that this is going to make a big deal, make a big difference. I mean, Chip Simmons, it's kind of funny. They're talking about the whole Brownsville focus that they've been having over the last several months with the county.
There's a number of different things that we wanted to put into this area as a beta site or a pilot location, because we think what happens in Brownsville can also happen in different locations, maybe one of these 6 square mile locations. So the quick answer is, the last update I got was our deputies are out there so much it's a ghost town in Brownsville. Now, that's what we wanted. Obviously, we don't want more than that.
So much presence that the criminal activity has fallen off to zero in that vicinity. Good.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah. Export that program everywhere. You know, like, make that program everywhere. Anyway, so this is going to get rolled out in the fall is what they're looking at, again, in conjunction with the real-time crime center, which they're also putting together. So this is good news that the state is going to fund this for about $800,000. Again, very good news note. 721 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This Blue Angels history is presented by the National Naval Aviation Museum.
There have been many changes of command in the U.S. Navy in many different places. But the 1954 change of command that marked Lieutenant Commander Hawkins turning over command of the Blue Angels to Lieutenant Commander Zeke Cormier in February of 1954 was something special. In the skies over NAS New Orleans, at an altitude of 800 feet and a speed of 600 miles per hour, Lieutenant Commander Hawkins led his men in diamond formation, with Lieutenant Commander Cormier slightly behind and below. On signal, Cormier, the new leader, pulled up from the rear and into a loop. The diamond then started their loop and at 1,200 feet broke formation, with each member doing a roll and continuing the loop. At the top of the loop, at about 6,000 feet, Hawkins rolled out and flew away. The three wingmen continued their loops, joined Cormier at the bottom in the diamond formation, and passed over the flight line with their new leader. Hawkins came back alone at 800 feet for one final pass over the crowd as a Blue Angel, and the aerial change of command was complete. During the 10th anniversary year of 1956, the Blue Angels made their first appearance on foreign soil, or is that foreign airspace, in Toronto, Canada. This show was in addition to 44 other shows across the United States. By year's end, millions had seen the flight exhibition team in person on television programs such as Navy Log and Mickey Mouse Club Newsreel, or the Cinerama production Cinerama Holiday. It was clear that the Blue Angels had fulfilled their mission to bring the Navy to the people. In the middle of the 1957-58 season, the Blue Angels transitioned from the F9-F8 Cougar to the supersonic afterburner-equipped F-11A Tiger. Such a mid-season transition was a difficult process, considering that for a period of about 3 months, it was necessary for the pilots to devote all available time between air shows to familiarize themselves with their new jets while flying their old Cougars for each public performance. This required tremendous concentration because there was considerable difference in control pressures and sensitivity, trim changes, and power requirements between the two aircraft. But the transition was successful, and the Blue Angels completed their season in the new Tigers with the unanimous opinion that they looked better than ever. I'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
The Blue Angels would fly the F-11A Tigers for the next decade. That and more next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community, and it's always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. This month, they focus on hurricane preparedness, summer safety, and back-to-school physicals. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on Twitter at Healthy Escambia.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled Strength for Life program to tell you that Northstone Baptist Church in Northwest Pensacola is hosting an activity specifically for teens this Saturday, June 24, from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Because it's summer, it has to be a water activity. And with the help of the Pensacola Fire Department and our 11 acres, that's exactly what it will be. We'll have a mud pit to throw other people into, and more water balloons than the population of Northwest Florida. Expect to leave soaked, expect fierce team competition, and expect to have a lot of fun. Our address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road. The activity is open to everyone, from rising 7th graders through high school students who have just graduated. Come join us this Saturday from 2 to 4:30 at Northstone Baptist Church. For more information about the church, visit northstonebaptist.org. For more information about our weekly Strength for Life programs, videos, and other media, visit strengthforlife.church or our YouTube channel, Strength for Life Pensacola.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Joey, you ever hang around the gymnasium?
Good morning, 726, News Radio 92.3. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Garbage day.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. This is brought to you by ECUA. Speaking of garbage day, which it is for... Does everybody have the same one, I wonder?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're one-sixth of the people. Well,
excuse me.
Because they tip, although I think
no,
in the city
sense.
They do it differently,
course,
but yeah, not
course,
Sundays,
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, for some of us Myrtle Grovers, it might be your garbage day. And listen, starting July 1st, ECUA Bulk Waste Service is going to do the call-in format like they were doing before. Call before 2 p.m. the day before your pickup day, and you can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. It looks like everything's running fine. 98 clear from Navarre to Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. And taking a look in Milton, Bell Lane, Sterling away, Cyanamon Road, right near that giant Tom Thumb, Cumberland Farms. Doing great. Not showing any problems. Everything checking in without delays. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So speaking of, can I ask a question that I don't know the answer to, and I'm not really...
Is it about food? No, it's about
Tom Thumb. That I'm only eager enough to ask. I'm only interested enough to ask, not enough to actually make a call and find out. It seemed like there was a wave where all the Tom Thumbs were converting, right?
Right.
And then... There's like no more have converted, and there's all these ones in like in Beulah area that haven't converted. There's ones in north of Pace that haven't converted. And I'm like, would they stop converting them? Are they all going to be converted eventually?
I think they're all going to be converted eventually.
That's what I thought too.
They've been selling Cumberland Farms products for not that you would have noticed necessarily.
No.
Somebody pointed that out to me before. I do. I mean, I was like, how's this? They're like the same. They liked it better. You know, they like the Cumberland Farms brand.
I raised my level of interest in Cumberland Farms to its maximum level so far when they were giving away the free drinks for about a week. And now I have again returned to, I just don't care.
They have a huge selection of roller items, so I suggest you try them. I'm Candy.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
China responding after President Biden called Chinese President Xi Jinping a dictator after a meeting between Secretary of State Antony Blinken and President Xi. Chinese foreign ministry spokesman called Biden's comments a political provocation. Those comments made while discussing the spy balloon incident. The former Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents online is being arraigned today in Massachusetts. Jack Teixeira has been in custody since he was arrested more than 2 months ago now. And as legal sports betting continues expanding across the country, the NFL now reinforcing its gambling policy to players in the league. All rookies are now being required to attend mandatory education sessions, and league officials making the rounds before the football season starts to all the different teams to emphasize and clarify what is prohibited to players.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. You've been hearing the news all morning that a federal judge yesterday struck down the Arkansas law banning transsexual and transgender and hormonal therapies for youth. I don't use the term gender-affirming care. I think that's an incredibly biased and misleading term. It's so... it's total propaganda as a term. Anyway, transgender, transsexual, these are, you know, adequate terms. Fine. Anyway, the judge said that these laws, or that law in particular, violates the constitutional rights of transgender youth, their parents, and their medical providers. Because, you know, this is the balancing test, right? You have what kids want, what parents want. You have health care. You have parental rights. You have medical rights. I mean, those are all the nexus. Of course, the other side of this conversation is, well, kids can't consent to everything. Kids can't be, you know, there's a whole lot of things you cannot do to kids or with kids, with or without their consent. And so the question is whether these surgeries or therapies are the kind of thing you can prohibit or not the kind of thing you can prohibit because of parental rights, medical rights, privacy rights, that kind of stuff. And this is, I mean, this is clearly going to wind up at the Supreme Court eventually.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The race against the clock to save the people stranded on a mini sub that's been missing since Sunday near the wreckage of the Titanic. They have about 24 hours of oxygen left.
U.S. Coast Guard tweeting overnight, quote, Canadian P-3 aircraft detected underwater noises in the search area. Operations were relocated in an attempt to explore the origin of those noises. Those remote operated vehicle searches have yielded so far negative results.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. China lashes out against President Biden for calling his Chinese counterpart a dictator. The communist nation calls President Biden's words as extremely absurd and irresponsible. The president made the comment Tuesday at a fundraiser. The new clash of words comes just days after Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Beijing in an effort to ease tension between the two superpowers. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio, 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 78, mostly sunny here in Pensacola this morning. And the National Weather Service confirming that it was an EF2 tornado that ripped through parts of Pensacola and Pensacola Beach last week during the severe storms on Thursday night. The storm had estimated peak wind speeds of 120 miles an hour with straight-line wind damage of 65 to 70 miles an hour. Meteorologist Steve Miller says we also had a historic amount of rainfall.
Pensacola at the airport climate station, they've had reported as of midnight last night 12.81 inches of rain, which is 8.26 inches above what normally happens in that time period.
And the tornado started in West Pensacola, traveled 9 miles, ended on Pensacola Beach. Adults and children receiving transgender medical treatments in Florida will be allowed to continue under certain conditions. The Florida Board of Osteopathic Medicine passed an emergency rule yesterday that allows existing treatments to continue for as long as a prescription does not change. The Florida Board of Medicine voted in favor of that rule 2 weeks ago. Members of the boards will meet Friday to discuss coming up with an informed consent form that patients will have to sign. South Florida immigration advocates want the Biden administration now to grant a new temporary protected status designation for Nicaragua.
Immigration advocate Thomas Kennedy says it will protect them from deportation and give them the benefit of employment authorization.
You know, we need the administration at the federal level to do more than talk and walk the walk.
Last week, the Biden administration announced the extension of TPS for Nicaraguans living in the U.S. since Hurricane Mitch in 1998. But without the redesignation, thousands of others already living here remain at risk. I'm Trey Thomas.
Thanks, Trey. The latest advisory on Tropical Storm Brett is out, and they're saying the storm is getting a little bit stronger. Winds have increased to about 60 miles an hour in that storm right now. The National Hurricane Center says Brett is expected to move across portions of the Lesser Antilles by tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night, and then move across the Eastern Caribbean Sea on Friday. And on this track, it should pass south of the Dominican Republic with an outer shear that comes near Jamaica. Well, earlier this week, the FWC said they found the first case of chronic wasting disease in a Florida deer. They've now implemented a response plan that they're hoping will stop the spread. FWC officers establishing a management zone around Holmes County. Now, that's where that deer was found in the zone, exporting deer carcasses and parts. Baiting and feeding deer and rehabilitating injured or orphaned deer will be prohibited. The FWC is asking anybody who sees a deer that they believe looks abnormally thin to contact their chronic wasting disease hotline at 866-CWD-WATCH, as chronic wasting disease is very contagious, and they say once it gets established in deer, it's tough to get rid of. It is 735 right now at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Good news, we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. Just your usual spots, like in front of HCA Florida West Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital. A little slow in front of there as people, I'm sure, just trying to make their way into work. It's the only slowdown we're seeing. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in, if you would. 437-1620 is the number. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms in the later half of the day today. Marginal risk of severe weather, level 1 out of 5. A few storms could be strong. High near 87, low tonight near 73. Typical showers and thunderstorms by Thursday with a high near 87, low Thursday night near 74. We're going to be seeing our rain chances continue into the end of the week and the weekend. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 78 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Electric vehicle maker Rivian Automotive says its EV owners will soon be able to access Tesla's fast charging network as early as next spring. It will incorporate Tesla's charge ports in its vehicle starting in 2025. Rivian's announcement follows similar agreements from Ford and GM. Hyundai also says it's considering making its vehicles more compatible with Tesla's North American charging standard. Tesla superchargers account for about 60% of available U.S. fast chargers. J.M. Smucker wants its frozen handheld sandwiches known as Uncrustables to reach beyond the lunchbox to briefcases and handbags. The maker of Jif peanut butter and Folgers coffee says demand for its Uncrustable sandwiches is boosting its bottom line, with net sales for the brand up 43% to $185 million for the quarter ended April 30th compared with a year ago. On Wall Street, futures are slightly lower after stocks closed lower yesterday. And that's Your Money Now.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
And last, but certainly not least, we have Canine Jax. He's a 1.5-year-old Belgian Malinois. His handler is Sergeant James Parson, who is not here today, but Officer Abed is ably filling in with Jax today. And Jax was actually donated by Sergeant Parsons to the department. And Jax, you may, if you've been around for a little bit, if you remember Canine Giannis, who was very photogenic, took lots of pictures, Jax is Canine Giannis' son. And Jax is dual certified in narcotics detection and tracking.
So there you go. That was the announcement yesterday. 4 new canine officers for the Pensacola Police Department, and that was Deputy Chief Kevin Christman there doing the introduction. Of course, the man who was kind of beside himself with giddiness to see all the dogs introduced yesterday was Mayor D.C. Reeves. He joins us now. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Their approval rating will always be higher than mine. So I really respect that.
You know, as long as you go in knowing that, right? You know that's the case, then you're all good, right?
That's absolutely right.
No, that was a really good day yesterday to have 4 new canines introduced, and you know, to see that, you know, it saves on it brings all kinds of benefits to the table, and you know, it's something that they only serve for what, like 2 years, 3 years, something like that, typically.
Yeah, I remember exactly, but it's not for long. Yeah, it's not a very long. They're all about, as you heard, all about a year and a half old.
Yep.
And remember, I mean, these are. And of course, 2 of these were donated privately. I mean, this is a $12,000 to $15,000 investment. This is not, you know, the same as at your house. I mean, for all the training that it takes, you know, to put them in the field and put them truly in line of fire, and to not only keep us safe, but to keep, you know, their handler, their co-pilot safe. You know, there's a lot of training that goes into that, and a lot of time, you know, and investment. So not just financially. So excited to get them all out there. They've been on for about a month or so.
You know, one of the other things I wanted to talk with you about is the approval has been given to begin the Pensacola Motor Lodge inspections and negotiations. But I guess DEO, the Department of Economic Opportunity, was here in town. Is that yesterday that you guys were working with them?
Yeah. So you may recall there's been 2 different projects. This is all Hurricane Sally money, post-Sally resiliency type money. Well, the first bucket of about $66 million, 80% of which has to go to Escambia or Santa Rosa. So call it $50 million has to go there. And this is to make us more resilient, you know, to repair things that were broken during Sally, and to make sure that if we were hit by another hurricane, we were in better position than we were. And so this happens around the state with, you know, different storms. And so you may recall Hollis T. Williams is our big ask, $36.4 million. And then we had about $10 million at the port and about $5 million for Fricker Center. Over there just off Cervantes near Battis Hospital. So fortunately, all 3 of those had enough validity in their eyes that they came and did on-site inspections of all 3, as well as the second bucket, which is neighborhood revitalization. And we put in 3. 2 of those made it through to inspection, to an on-site as well, and that was $5 million for the potential demo or acquisition of Battis Hospital and $2.8 million to revitalize Brownsville. And it was honestly in the spirit of potentially acquiring this property. I told DEO, I said, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is. If you're not sure if we believe in this $2.8 million to help revitalize all those storefronts and try to bring life back to the commercial corridor of Cervantes and Brownsville, we're putting our money where our mouth is. We put $1 million up whether this happens or not right now. So, you know, hopefully I think that spoke volumes to them that we're invested in that idea as well.
Were they persuaded at all, or did they seem receptive to the idea that, look, FDOT just put all of this money into the revamping of Cervantes with an effort to slow traffic, calm traffic, protect pedestrians, whether that's successful or not, it's a different conversation, whether it was a good project or not, but they've done this already, therefore, see, we're buying this motor lodge, see, we're investing in this, we have a confluence of entities trying to work on this area. Did that seem persuasive to them?
Yeah, well, and remember, obviously, with the state road, you know, a lot of the nuance of our ask in Brownsville, it doesn't necessarily involve anything curb to curb because it is a state road.
Sure.
But I will tell you, I have apprised Philip Gaynor and FDOT of that we were putting this in, you know, because it's on both sides of the state road, you know, just to make sure that, you know, we're good partners on that. But look, I think with anything, I mean, this is significant dollars that if I'm the DEO, I'm looking for this to be transformational. And that's why I always talk about Hollis T. Williams from a pure infrastructure water, stormwater position, just that. I mean, we all know all of the problems we had down there for decades. I mean, the first conversation about Hollis T. Williams started in 2004. I mean, this has been 20 years. We know all the flooding that happens in that Gillimard, you know, Tarragona area. And we take on water from the county that comes north down to us. Any of that flooding downtown, any has something to do directly or indirectly with the lack of stormwater infrastructure under the interstate. So, you know, these are vital projects, and that's what I tried to relay to them. We had all our technical experts, but, you know, as the mayor, I'm saying, look, the things that we've asked you about, the things that, that we want to put these much needed dollars into, one, we wouldn't normally afford in our budget. These opportunities don't come along often. And two, they truly can have impactful generational change for us. And that's what I think that they want to see. And that's what I hope that they're persuaded by.
Well, it always sounds good if you're a potential investor to hear, yeah, this is going to be a big end result. You're going to like how this all turns out. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. Certainly use caution wherever you are. And I said the old Baptist Hospital earlier, not the old West Florida Hospital. I know it's a little slow there as people are making their way into work, but it always is. A little slow on Avalon, too. It looks southbound. It looks like that's been cleared up for the most part, but a little slow as you're heading towards I-10 on Avalon southbound. That's it. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You also talked about your trip over to D.C., Washington, D.C., where you were working on talking to people, working on getting the airport terminal approved, $65 to $70 million in funding there, about a third from the feds, third from the state, a third from us through bonding. That all makes sense to me. I have a slightly different question about that project, though, which is I had thought the issue we were really facing right now at the airport was parking and ramp space. And I know we've talked about parking in the past, and that's pretty pressing as well, but ramp space for all of these planes that want to sit overnight in between their flights, basically, how will ramp space, and I assume some of that's going to go away with a new terminal, how will that problem be solved? Do you have an answer for that yet?
Well, look, we have an entire capital improvement plan that certainly we're ready to absorb any of the quote-unquote growing pains that would come with the additional gates. What we know right now is the thing that is the most out of our control of the two things you mentioned and new service and more direct flights is the lack of gates. Within that plan, I mean, understand this is certainly beyond my expertise and more in the maths, but what I do know is there is a lot of communication and collaboration amongst the carriers and our airport in terms of what parking's available, what you charge for parking, the fees within the airport, outside the airport. There's a lot of hand-holding that happens collectively because it kind of makes sense, right? If Delta's going to have X number of flights here or American's going to have X number of flights, they want to make sure that the infrastructure is there for that experience to go well from the time they park the car.
Absolutely.
So all of those things are anticipatory as part of not only just the ask of this terminal, which is the big one, but we're looking at other things. I was talking to FAA folks and advocating. We have a grant in right now for a potential, I think it's about a $4 million, excuse me, maybe it's a $12 million solar canopy that would actually produce about 20% of the power of the airport. That would, and then it would also protect the surface lot and make it and put it under shade. We're looking at those opportunities all the time. So, yeah, I don't want to make it sound like all we're looking at is this gate.
Sure.
We have a multi-year capital plan that would help absorb any of this growth.
And it even made me ask the question, I don't know the answer to the question, is, do we even have adequate land? Like, I know some of the, there's been elements of the land, like the medical park out on the, on 12th or the, the sacred part down to the south a little bit. Like just, it seems like maybe we're being constrained in even as we're trying to grow, and maybe grow up is kind of the way we're going to have to do it. Different question that I had for you is, and I thought this is interesting, that there's going to be a stop sign going at Roos and Government. Fine. Four-way stops are better than two-way. I get that. Jefferson and Government, you're studying that one by Seville Quarter. Oh my, that is one of the worst intersections from a, like, as a driver, I always feel unsafe. And going any direction through that intersection, I always feel unsafe. So please, yes, four-way stop there.
Well, look, I love to be a data nerd and look at all that. And of course, we go do that. We study these things. There's a lot of ramifications about. You don't just go willy-nilly and go pick up, and the mayor thinks that there should be a four-way stop here and you do it.
Right.
Our public works team, who works really hard on a lot of things, they go and study that for many reasons. Not just is it valid or not, because it's worth the couple dollars to put stop signs in.
Right.
There's a lot of other ramifications. Where the traffic flows, where does it go now that there's a four-way stop? But what I'll tell you is sometimes it's simplistic, the way you just described it, Andrew. I know that when I'm at those two four-way stops, people stop when they shouldn't anyway, and everyone thinks it's a four-way stop. So, I know that's the opposite of data, but that's kind of really how the conversation started, was to say, these are two intersections that are two-way stops, But, I mean, I would venture to guess, I don't know, an enormous portion of people that have the right-of-way that do not have to stop anyway,
right,
which makes it probably as unsafe as anything.
And I know specifically at the one at Jefferson is the view lines are so bad because of the offset to the street.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just a weird intersection. And, you know, I was very encouraged to hear that you guys are looking at that one for a possibility. We always like to end on the lightning round. First question for you is, when it comes to milkshakes, I'm hoping you like milkshakes. Do you eat vanilla milkshakes? And what is your favorite milkshake flavor?
I do eat vanilla milkshakes, and I would actually say vanilla is my thing. Is that not very fun? I don't know. Should it be something?
Sorry, I know Candy likes vanilla milkshakes, too, and we had a big argument yesterday about this. By the way, my fault for saying eat. Nobody eats a milkshake. They drink it, but okay, fine. Second, and we'll find out which side of the happy line we are on here. When it comes to your cornbread, does your cornbread have sugar or not have sugar in it?
I mean, you know, I'm so healthy, you know, that I watch my figure, that I would say no sugar if you were offering me one of the two. But,
does your mouth prefers the
honestly,
no sugar, or your waistline prefers
way,
the no sugar?
Right. Yeah. Excuse me. Did I not delineate between those
two? I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. And
yeah, fair assessment.
Last one. When you brush your teeth, water first, toothpaste first, or no water at all?
You're making me think about this. I only brush teeth left-handed. That's one of my weird things.
Okay, weird.
I go toothpaste first. Toothpaste first.
And you use water.
Yeah. Yeah. Then water. Yes.
Okay.
Then water.
Right.
Yeah.
This is gonna be our fun topic.
I'm not that crazy. I definitely got water on that.
All right, I'm going to give you an early plug for our conversation later and tell you this. I've tried it with the no water way, which is what the experts recommend, and it's actually kind of interesting. So give it a try and tell me what you think. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. Mr. Mayor, thanks for all the work you're doing to make the city better. I appreciate it, and certainly for the time spent this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Of course, guys. I'll give it a shot. Thanks so much.
Hey. You never know till you try it. 752 on News Radio 92.3. And how crazy do I sound right now, Candy?
Very.
I know. I'll take it.
Always the hard-hitting questions with the mayor.
Always probing all the difficult stuff. Hey, if you have any kind of pest problems in your home, call NSEC. They'll take care of it. They target the most common household pests in our area, like what? Roaches, ants, fleas, rodents, mosquitoes. You know, the bad stuff, termites, right? And they guarantee the results because their techs will show up. You tell them what the problem is. They'll look, they'll investigate, they'll take pictures, they'll treat, they'll tell you what they treated with. They'll take pictures afterwards and they'll show you and they'll email you all this stuff that you have a good documentary record of what you did. Their whole lawn, whole home program is what they're all about. It's taking care of all of these things for you. Or if you have just a specific thing that you want, like, for example, fire ants, they have a program that takes just one treatment. It's an annual treatment, and it bonds with the soil and guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection. And right now, you got $25 off the annual fire ant contract. Mosquitoes, mosquito management. Obviously, you know, we're getting to the wet part of the year, and this is a time where it's crazy, right? So their plan scientifically identifies mosquito species specifically plaguing your yard, and then they customize monthly service visits to take care of that population. Right now, new annual pest control customers get $50 off. There are some restrictions, so you know, read the fine print. Estimates are always free, and NSEC is hiring. Full-time pest and lawn techs in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Great pay, good benefits, 401k health insurance, and opportunities for growth. Apply at workwithnsec. That's ENSEC.com.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID.4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth, aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new, like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S. now from $24,999. The Tiguan S from $27,999. And the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beatmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beatmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
I am Oz, the great and powerful. Who are you?
Here on News Radio 92.3, we're having an in-house argument because
it's not Living in Oz
by
Rick Springfield.
No, it's not. Springfield.
This is Living in Oz by Rick Springfield.
I love you so much. Traffic.
That's
on
his
the
way of saying bless your heart.
Bless your.
Which I get. Fives
sometimes you really do want to bless your heart. Okay. It's totally Living in Oz. I'm sorry, that intro threw me. God, he's a jerk. Not you. Well, you, but Rick Springfield. I-10 westbound at mile marker 5. Showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock this morning. And it doesn't look like it's tying things up yet. Caution there. I'm sure it's been moved on to the side. 437-1620. You can text if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You said we were friends earlier. You can never take it back. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines.
Ask
David.
My ex-friends. How's David. No, I'm just kidding.
What? No.
I'm just kidding, dude. I love it.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calling Hunter Biden's plea deal a sweetheart deal.
If you compare this to other individuals in America that have these same accusations against them, the same crimes that they had been guilty of, that they were proposed to have 10 years another time period, I think that's a difference in justice.
And McCarthy telling reporters that the agreement shows a two-tiered system of justice in America. The governor of Pennsylvania says traffic will be rolling again on I-95 this weekend. A portion of the busy highway has been closed since the bridge collapse.
That's amazing. I was watching them do some of the work on that. Amazing that they got it back. But, I mean, you know, they got the Sanibel, right, back up and operating pretty quickly after Ian. So it can be done, at least on a limited basis. You know, if you're going to tear the old thing out and you got, what, three or four lanes there, you put up one or two and then you work on the rest of it. Makes sense.